Meetings. This is November 8th, 2010, and it's precisely 6 p.m. Mr. Coxey, if you'll establish a quorum, please.
Mark Blackwell.
Here.
Rick Caudill.
Here.
Randall Cummings.
Here.
Ray Edwards.
Here.
Sarah Kleinfelter.
Here.
Sean Pingleton. Frank Preston.
Here.
Susan Martin. Carl Pride.
Here.
Madam Chairman, we do have a quorum.
Yes, we do. And if you will read the meeting procedures.
This is the Taney County Planning Commission public hearing procedures. Public hearings are required and governed by the Taney County Development Guidance Code and are held on each Division III application, which is filed with the Taney County Planning Commission staff. The Taney County Development Guidance Code is Exhibit A. The staff report for each case is Exhibit B. And the staff file, including all pertinent information for each case, is Exhibit C for all cases to be heard at the public hearing. A staff report for each request will be read to the commission, followed by a video and any questions for staff. If you would like to comment at the public hearing, you must sign the sheet, which is provided at the front of the room. Registration for comment will cease before the hearing begins. When it is your opportunity for comment, your name will be called. Please walk to the podium at the front of the room to address the commission. All comments and questions are to be addressed to the Planning Commission, not to anyone in the audience. The Planning Commission may allow further comment if they so choose. At the conclusion of public comments, the public hearing on each request will be closed. The regular meeting of the Planning Commission will be held 1 week after the public hearing. The projects will be reviewed and voted on by the Commission at that meeting. The regular meeting is an open meeting, however, no additional public comments shall be taken unless expressly requested by the Commission. And you may leave after your case has been heard.
Okay. The first and only project under consideration belongs to Joyce and David Clemenson. So, Mr. Coxey, if you'll read the information, please.
This is the Division III staff report for Clemenson Realty, dated November 8, 2010, case number 10-23. This is the public hearing for Clemenson Realty in the Oliver Township, section 19, township 22, range 21. The applicants, Joyce and David Clemenson, are requesting approval to operate their real estate business from their home. History is that it was approved for concept on October 18, 2010. General description, the subject property contains approximately 3.77 acres. The adjoining properties of the request consist of commercial, residential, and agricultural. Review, the site consists of one single-family residence, garage, and swimming pool, and is serviced by central water and private well. The project received a positive 12 out of a possible 47 on the policy checklist. Policies receiving a negative score consist of what is on your list, because we didn't get them on this particular thing here.
Okay.
If the Taney County Planning Commission approves this request, the following requirements shall apply unless revised by the Planning Commission. Number one, compliance with the provisions of the Taney County Development Guidance Code that include plans for the following: improvements with scale of buildings, streets, on-site parking, and utilities. Compliance with the home occupation requirements of the Development Guidance Code, section 4.4. No outside storage of equipment or solid waste materials. The decision is subject to all existing easements. And the decision of record shall be filed with the Taney County Recorder's Office within 120 days or the approval shall expire. As you know, this is a special use request, home occupation. I don't believe there's any building or anything associated with this, as mentioned during concept, so some of those issues there don't really come into play.
The current zoning on the property is residential?
It is currently assessed as residential.
As residential. Okay.
So let's take you, this is the property, if you'll know, this is off of Highway 165. This is Jerry Causey's mini storage there. So if you know where Jerry's mini storage is, he owns the beautiful piece of property right back here in the back. And as you know, the swimming pool is mentioned because Benita loves swimming pools. So come on up there. Dan, you got the next one here?
Yeah.
I don't think it's really pertinent to what's going on, but this is the area. Of course, there's two accesses in here. This one will come back out and around. Single-family residential home. Like I say, he's got his own garage and ample parking, although I didn't anticipate any.
Okay, and the property over on the left side is also residential, but not Mr. Clemenson's.
Is
that
right? Correct.
Okay.
No, that belongs to Gerald Causey. Mr. Causey will own most of this around here, I think. So, okay. You have a video for us? Or do you have more?
Nope.
Let's do a video.
It's about focus.
Benita was doing this.
I was.
It's like it's having some buffering issues, doesn't it? This is the driveway that goes back up to the mini storage here on there. And then, of course, Mr. Causey has a couple of businesses right in here. His office for the storage, and his daughter has a manicure spa type thing there. So.
And the zoning of that property is what?
Up at the front there, it is commercial.
Commercial.
Yes, ma'am. Okay, that's what it is. So.
Well, the only person who has signed up to speak is Mr. David Clemenson. So, Mr. Clemenson, if you'll please come forward and, again, kind of bring us up to date on what this is really all about and whether or not a special use permit would be the best solution for you.
Yes, the video that you see there would make a correction. There is only one deeded access into the property.
Oh, okay.
That gravel road is that put there for my mother-in-law who lives in that trailer down there. And it will, so it dead ends at my property. And there's only one way in and one way out. I'm the only one that has access through the Brewster Road to my property. So no, it's not open to the public or to anybody else around there. And since I no longer have an office of my own with my other affiliated businesses, I am a licensed broker in the state of Arkansas and Missouri since 1972, and I want to operate out of my house. My wife is not associated with the real estate business at all. I would like to amend the possibility of us adding a financial services in the future, however, so that I wouldn't have to come back in and get another special use permit for that particular activity, which is to be in the future.
And you would be the primary person in that second financial services?
Both of us.
Okay, both.
Yeah.
Any employees with that?
Not at this time. However, my son wants to come back to the beautiful state of Missouri, and however, he's in financial services right now, so there's a possibility that we might have a joint venture of some sort.
Mm-hmm. Do you have an in-home office?
Yes.
Okay. And traffic in and out of the property?
Is nil.
Okay.
Yeah. It only comes to our house or, as it is right now, the Causeys use it to go back and forth because it's a little easier for them to come through the gravel road. And my mother-in-law lives in that mobile home. She's 83, and when she passes on, we'll dispose of the mobile home, which she owns, and she's on the property that Mr. Causey owns. And so we'll probably take the road back out, which is what our understanding with the Causeys are. So just one way in, one way out.
But your actual deeded property, then, is the property that has the square around it. Is that correct?
The residential portion of that is where the square is.
Okay.
That's roughly 2 acres.
Okay.
But down in here, I've got another 1.77 acres that adjoins it down in this portion here.
So that makes up the 3.77 acres.
Uh-huh.
That
we're looking at. Okay. Yeah, but this is 2 acres right here. And we go across the bridge up to 6 feet or so south of the buildings. So we own all the way over here and down this line here, where it's where the county sewer came down.
Mm-hmm.
So this is not exact for that purposes, but there's the bridge, and we come up about in there.
Okay, and you are on county sewer?
Yes.
Okay. But a private well and...
Private well.
We're not concerned about hours of operation or?
No, and I'm still in the in a tax business, but I work out of the Rogersville, Missouri office for reasons that I have to go up there to do my tax business.
Okay. Well, there do not seem to be representatives from your neighborhood to complain against this proposal. So that's a good thing.
Well, I had a call that said they would support me if I needed
any
help.
Oh, okay. they chose not to come.
Right. Well, I didn't think this was really a no-brainer, but, you know.
So we're going to amend this for
real estate
and financial services.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I missed or not. On your financial services part, when you start that, you would have individuals come to the home, I'm guessing.
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay.
Not.
I mean, it would be minimal. I just want to make sure that you're aware of that, because on the realty part of it, he wasn't sure there would be anybody there at all.
Did you also mention tax service that you do now, but not on the grounds?
Right.
Is that something that you'd be looking at?
Under the financial services part.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right.
Thank you, Mr. Cornwell.
Let's move on to, and guess what? There are no items under permit renewal, no items under old and or new business. Moving on to the next item on the agenda, which says adjournment.
Wait. I know. I'm sorry.
Okay. Let us perhaps guess that you might have some information for us.
I do.
Okay.
Give us 3 minutes.
As you know, a few weeks ago, Bob Paulson was before you asking us to consider some amendments to our code book. And I've spent some time with the commissioners on some of this, and my thinking being that probably would save a lot of time if I could write something up, we could kind of hash it out, and then I could bring that to you for you to look at, and then let you do your hashing on it. But there was no sense in me bringing something here and getting it done, taking it to them if it wasn't anything they were going to. So we are scheduled next month, in the month of December, to actually consider some changes to the existing code book. So we're actually working on two things right now. We're working on making some changes to our existing code book. We are also in the process of trying to start producing the new one with the zoning districts and things like that. So we worked on Friday concerning some issues. And what I want to do tonight, if I can, is I just want to hand you some things. Don't want you to discuss it or anything like that. The one thing that we did work on that will come to you kind of as their recommendation or what we've agreed on to bring to you to look at had to do with permit extensions. I want to give you that tonight so you can kind of dwell on that and look at it. We'll discuss it in December. And then also I want to give you some verbiage on some duplexes that we haven't gone over, but we are going to go over on Friday with the commissioners and everything like that so that you can not get that kind of cold turkey all at one time. Okay.
And the duplex issue again is the common roof?
Common wall.
There's a lot of stuff with that, but I want you to start thinking. Even today as we dealt with this with the staff, the definition can be really different. And like I said, I don't want to get in that because we're not posted to doing that, but I wanted to give you that. Once I give you that, you're free to adjourn or do whatever you want to do.
Okay, but no, because there are questions that I have for you.
Okay.
Because within the last 2 months, we have been a commission under attack.
I can feel your pain.
So would you please bring us up to date on the controversy within the last 2 months or so? And where do you think we are today? Has that been sound and fury?
There's been a lot of issues from my perspective, and Bob maybe, I don't want to put him on the spot, he may be better able to speak at some of this. There's just been a lot of things, some of it based on misinformation, different things like that. But to make a long story short, we've had people that are disgruntled with me personally. We've had people that are disgruntled with you as a staff. You've seen that, or as a commission. Mm-hmm. We've had people that are disgruntled with our code book and people that are disgruntled because other people are disgruntled. just to make a long story short, I mean, I'm not being facetious or anything, but that's what the case is. So a lot of this has been hashed out. To get to where we need to go, I guess, the elected commission feels like there's four or five major areas that we probably should try to make some immediate changes in our existing code book to get rid of. I think the consensus is probably that what they've been working on with their zoning districts and everything like that, that's going to be the permanent fix, but they feel like there needs to be some fixes made into this code book. The rest of it's just kind of personal. I don't know. I've not personally sat and discussed with anybody that that has attacked or anything.
Well, I guess
like that,
my question, Eddie, is because there was such a furor, and what happens? Media picks up on this, and I think raises the visibility, of an embering fire, and then it turns into a major conflagration, somehow or other.
Yes, ma'am.
Where are we today, post-election, with a newly elected presiding commissioner? What are the dynamics that are transpiring on the famous Monday County Commission meetings as far as planning and zoning is concerned?
Last Friday, Mr. Pennell suggested, and the commissioners discussed, about extending the invitation to Mr. Hausman to start attending all the commission meetings and everything. And I read in the newspaper, too, I believe on Saturday, that he made the statement something to the effect that Chuck is still the elected commissioner, but he would welcome the opportunity, if extended, that he would like to begin to start attending those meetings. I've not met with the commissioners this week so far and everything. I don't know if he attended any of those or anything. I don't know if they even extended an invitation, but it looked like it was their intention to do so, and I would think that he will begin to start doing that, but.
If you want me to.
Come on.
Has the furor died down,
I guess
is the question.
I believe that it has. I think they're going to be very busy during the month of December and January, worrying about things like budget and some other things. I think planning and zoning, these three code changes, I think they want to do immediately, and whether they'll continue after Friday to work much on the code during December, I don't know. They could, but I think they're working toward something as far as an amendment to the code, and I think that's the direction they're headed in. One of the commissioners may not be as happy about it as the others, but I don't see him fighting too much, at least right now. At least the hot war has ended. Mm-hmm. And at least for now.
So the issue of throw the bastards out.
Well, throw the whole thing out, the baby out with the bathwater.
Baby. Throw the baby.
You know some of these people better than we do.
Parenthood.
Well, the first two letters were the same. Yes. But I was at Walmart this weekend, and I ran into a couple of people, and they informed me that one of our perennial people here at in front of planning and zoning was out getting signatures at Country Mart over the weekend, so to throw it out. So I don't know that all of that effort hasn't completely abated. There are certain people that are upset with planning and zoning who are still out there. It's not the elected officials anymore, but
and the fact that the Stone County planning and zoning issue passed with handily,
66% or something like that.
So Stone County chose not to do away with planning.
Right.
And did it ever occur to anybody that the people that showed up at the public hearings that were held tended to be the same people? Has anybody made that observation?
I believe that the three commissioners made their own observations, and I think each of them has their point of view as to who showed up.
Okay.
Don't think the commissioners are naive by any means.
Well, then, while we have Mr. Paulson, Councillor Paulson, at the podium, there's another chapter that our commission is involved with, and that is we have any number of lawsuits either going out or coming in. Can you bring us up to date?
Sure.
On all of the lawsuits?
We have Linda Church and... what's the husband's name?
Hornbeck.
Terry Hornbeck. Yeah. They filed a lawsuit concerning the extensions and that they should have been able to build what they were approved to build way back when, that once it was rezoned. And I think some of the issue may be, and I'm not getting into exactness here, so is that
actually she's trying to do more than what she was ever approved to do. But that's part of what one of the amendments to the code is supposed to do, and that is to avoid the necessity on a Division 3 once you actually, not a special use permit, but a rezoning. Once it's rezoned, it's rezoned. It doesn't automatically go back to being what it was, because either it's changed and it needs to be commercial rather than residential, or it shouldn't have been changed in the first place. You don't automatically change it back unless there's some change changing it back to residential. So that is one of the amendments that we proposed to the code. And that seems to be the issue in a declaratory judgment lawsuit by her and her husband against the county planning and zoning, whatever. The other lawsuit...
Well, before you leave that one, though, how do you prevent what has happened on Linda Church's 3.4 acres or whatever the size of the property is, where she's got residential, she's got little cabins, she's got mechanic shops, she's got a used car lot, et cetera, et cetera. If we rezone something commercial, do we give them carte blanche to do whatever they want to do on that land?
If and when we get our new code, depending on what it says, if it's sort of like, I don't want to use the blasphemous word traditional planning and zoning or district planning and zoning, it'll have C1, C2, C3, or maybe just one commercial district. But in C1, C2, C3, they have different things that you can do in those three districts. Maybe one is just office buildings, maybe another is office buildings and restaurants, and the third one, you know, I don't know, just fill in the blank. But each of those situations would require a certain frontage on the highway, a certain number of parking spaces, certain requirements in order to do those things. So you could do any of those things in that zone that are allowed in that zone as long as you came into planning and zoning and met all the requirements of that sort of project. And we would have specific requirements of that sort of project. So
will a law help us to prevent what a Linda Church has done to that piece of property? Will the new law, will the new district zoning or whatever?
I believe that if you had district planning and zoning, she would be required, whatever she was allowed to do there, if she was allowed to do all the things that she's doing, if she was in a zone that allowed all of those things, she would be able to do them, but she would have to comply with the rules. She may not be able to do them all on one lot. She may have to have more than one parcel, but if she could do them all on one lot, she would have to, it would have to be orderly with parking spaces and certain requirements. It doesn't appear that she's meeting any sort of requirements whatsoever, does it?
No, sir. When you have acreage, you may be able to have more than one commercial use on that acreage, but each one of those has to meet its own parking access standards, you know, sewer, depending on how that's set up. Each one of them may require a certain amount of square footage for that particular type of business. It just depends on how, like I say, some of these will, you know, you get in some of these districts, they say minimum size is 40,000 square feet, which is almost an acre.
You have lots of different uses on a piece of property, but you would still have...
But it would be permitted uses inside of that district.
Well, I know this is going to be a very naive question, but the question is, how did she ever get a lawyer to take her case?
I do not know the answer to that question, but actually, he's actually a pretty good lawyer out of Springfield, Paul Sherman. I have lots of respect for Paul, so.
Okay. I guess X number of dollars per hour, is the billing rate or whatever. Okay. And the next one.
Okay. The next lawsuit is McKeag versus Taney County. And they actually are appealing the decision of the Board of Adjustment like you normally would by a writ of certiorari. But they're also doing it under some administrative statutes that... quite frankly, I don't think apply, but basically there's three or four different ways that he's appealing the decision. And then the last count is actually a civil rights violation count, saying that his due process rights were violated by the emergency waiver. And basically the decision was already made, is what he's claiming, prior to P&Z and DOA ever hearing it. Because I guess his argument is, you know, the buildings went up. There's no way you're going to make them tear it down. So the horse was out of the barn, and we never got our due process rights until after the decision was made. So that would be his claim. And that has caused a situation, since that is a tort, that our insurance company at the county has been able to get involved, and actually we have outside counsel for that. So while I'm involved in it, we have other counsel for that.
Okay. And that's a good thing.
That is a good thing.
Okay.
He's not a bad lawyer. It just always helps to have extra eyes to look at stuff.
And we have a pretty good firm that's involved, and they always do a great job, and they ask me what I think, and I do a lot of the legwork and have all the input I want. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's a very good thing, actually.
That was a bad thing that the commission did.
I don't want to speak about that.
I understand. But the question is, who is the lawsuit against? Is it against?
The lawsuit is against each of you individually, only in your official capacity. And so it's not a big deal individually to you, just in your official capacity. And he named each and every one on the Planning and Zoning Board, but he just named the BOA collectively, and he also sued the Taney County Commission. And I think he sued Eddie Coxey as well in his official capacity.
Okay, the sad thing is that the law is the law, and a board cannot make variations on that law, theoretically. Because that's exactly what the county commission did. They made an exception. And do they have to justify the exception?
They utilize a procedure called the emergency waiver, which is complained of in the lawsuit, and that's about all I want to talk about that.
I understand. Okay, then let's go on, if we may, and I understand that we are live and on the air, mm-hmm. but bring us up to the status of the airport situation in Cedar Creek.
The airport is going to Board of Adjustment on Wednesday. Actually, this is the resort down there, not the right.
Actually, this is only a few lots there near. Isn't this
she's wanting to redo that whole area down there, turn it into six lots and.
Right, it's the deal that came through planning
yes,
and zoning.
Yes,
right.
The airport sits as it sits. As far as I know, not anything happening out there. When I drove by last time, I didn't see any equipment or anything like that. So. I haven't heard back from DNR. Eddie Wolf, could probably answer some questions for you next time he's in. I will talk to him. He should be in next Monday night or Tuesday night. When is it Monday night, isn't it? So, and he can bring you up to speed on that if you'd like. But we're waiting on the subdivision analysis from DNR, which was going to determine what size lots, minimum lot size from here on out would have to be if septic systems are involved, and at the airport, and then of course you're familiar with the project from that was presented at the resort there. So it goes to BOA.
I think it's important that we kind of be kept up to date on.
Oh, I agree.
The what is happening to
National Institute of Marriage also goes to BOA next month.
No, week
after.
It's the nightly rental that gives preference to people who are on a spiritual retreat.
Actually, the National Institute of Marriage is first.
Is it really?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
It was filed. And this one hasn't been filed yet.
You mean I thought the National Institute had already been heard. It hasn't been?
No, it comes up.
Okay.
Okay, and the National Institute of Marriage goes to the Board of Adjustment because
the decision for approval was being appealed. Again, we're in one of those situations where it has to be. We're not actually debating the project. What they should prove is: was there an error of law, or did we not follow procedure? Is what it should boil down to.
One of the more vocal opponents, mm-hmm. appealed it.
And then is also the weekend or whatever prayer sanctuary?
That has not been appealed yet, although the request was to appeal both of them at the same time, but we wouldn't. They're, first of all, two separate projects, and secondly, the last day to appeal the one project was before the other one had been approved, so we couldn't appeal a project that hadn't received any kind of approval yet.
It's two different projects.
It's two different projects. It had been done differently, but so you know, we are constantly, and matter of fact, this came up last week, but we're constantly trying to make sure that we're following our procedure exactly, and even on one of these cases that you asked about tonight, when that came before you, my admonishment to you was, regardless of what's going on, you hear this project on its merits, just like you would any other project, not for or against that developer or anything like that, but exactly like you would, and I believe you guys did that.
We had an individual come to the county commission here within the last week, as you said, and he had done something inconsistent with his approval and wanted to come before you and have maybe even tonight be his concept. And our answer to that is we're following our procedures. Given what's occurred, we're following our procedures to the letter, correct?
And everything, yes. Because, you know, in the past we'd have people come in here and tell you about their project and say, can I use this as my concept? And we'd say, sure. And, you know, we just said no. That's probably not a good idea. And the commission agreed we better stick to exactly what our procedure is. So,
okay, then I just have one more question, and then, by golly, it's going to be the shortest meeting that we've ever had. Mr. Edwards, did you have a question?
Go ahead.
Okay. Well, my question is, I find it curious that there's only one concept for next week, and it happens to be a cemetery. So my question is, is there any particular reason? Is it because we have now a bad public reputation and so development has stopped? Or is it, in fact, an economic issue?
Well, we've had several people put their projects on hold. As you know, the Tigers have gone on hold again. The property that was going to, or the people that were going to look at using the Dulas property have gone on indefinite hold. So you had several things coming up. To me, looking at your record and everything like that, I don't think it would be a bad reputation. I think if anybody was concerned that things were going to get strict or anything like that, they would come in now, because the percentage-wise, we don't turn down a lot of projects. I mean, we do occasionally when it needs to be, but percentage-wise, we don't turn down a lot of projects. And as this moves forward, that might not always be the case, because as you're looking more and more at things and you're of the understanding if we're going to zone something, it becomes that and it doesn't revert, then, you know, it could be that way for years and years and years before everything gets built on that.
It's not a problem with the board or anything personal or
just
any personal hygiene
time.
Problem here. They're just not coming for economic reasons, obviously.
So
that's an interesting kind of phenomenon, because I can't ever remember when we have not had concepts.
We used to try to limit them. We'd have 15 or 16 on a night.
Right. But it does deal with economic times. You know, people are still, you know, we had a lot of projects approved. With these developers now, if they're going to do it, they're going to go into these approved projects already instead of bringing new ones through. And that's why what you're seeing is things like special use or small type items. You're not seeing any large projects or anything like that come through right now. Just economically not feasible.
Well, I'm just curious about, you've had three cases of foreclosure, Everett Creek and Stone Ridge. What's the status of those now that the bank has foreclosed on those properties?
When we approve a project in Division 3, a change of ownership doesn't negate that project unless they would change the
use permit or something
right,
like that.
But like Emery Creek or whatever the project might be, if it's sold, that whoever buys it still has the right to proceed on with that, unless they come in and change the project big or something like that. Right now, we'd ask them to bring that back before
the bank foreclosed, so I don't know if the bank's going to be in it.
Well, the bank probably won't, but they'll probably sell it. And if that person comes in and says, I brought this project because it was approved for, you know, 8,000 duplexes or condominium style of ownership, and that I'd like to get some of the permits. You know, as long as the requirements have been met for that, then we would issue the permits and let them go. We don't care who the owner is.
I'm just curious, because probably Emmett Creek's farther along than any I don't know about Stonebridge. North part of Stonebridge.
Yeah, a lot of Emery Creek has its infrastructure in and its roads and the treatment plants and everything like that. And many of the parcels in there had been sold to individual owners or to developers to build.
Are there utilities for all those roads and utilities?
Pretty much. Right? There's a couple areas where we're not, but yeah, most everywhere you go out there, there's.
If there's any bonds, if they've been foreclosed on, it might be a situation where the bonds need to be called.
As far as infrastructure bonds, there's not anything out there. We do have a few land disturbance bonds, but they put in all their infrastructure before they platted, so we weren't holding bonds on that.
Okay, anything else? Then, do I hear a motion to adjourn?
I can't make that.
I'll make a motion.
Got it.
Second.
We're adjourned.
We're done. We're adjourned. I'm just going to tell you what I gave you.
Okay.
The one thing on there...